everyone, and welcome to this week's Persuasion Call. Today is December 16th. My name is Kurt Mortensen. Welcome today as we talk about another principle of persuasion, motivation, or influence. And for those of you that are just joining us for the first time, we're going to spend, 15 minutes or so on a tool that we can apply this week, give you some homework, and make sure that you understand the application, or even talk about things that you're running into throughout the week. Now, last week, if you were with us, we talked about a certain skill. If everyone remembers, we talked about learning to listen with your ears, your eyes, and your heart. And you were going to practice that this week. Did anybody have a chance to see a difference? Anybody have a success story they want to share? I am all ears. Anybody? Did anybody do their homework? Did anybody have a question about their homework? Anybody want to sing us a song? All the above. All right, well, think about those things. I want you to think about it throughout the week, your homework, and bring it to class, and we can talk about it. It was pretty cut and dry with the listening, but the key is really learning to connect as you listen will take you a long way. What I want to focus on for the next month or so, is a very powerful, probably the most important law of persuasion, the law of dissonance. The law of dissonance is probably the most difficult one, the hardest to understand, but when you master this, it really helps you help people persuade themselves. That's your critical thing. That is what you want. Realize the moment that somebody senses that you're going to try to persuade them to do something, they will resist you even though they need it, want it, like it, and can afford it. That's human nature. Your goal as a great persuader is to help them persuade themselves. So let's talk about this. Dissonance, or cognitive dissonance, goes way back. But your cognitions are basically your beliefs, your attitudes, and your commitments. This is your cognition, the way you think. Now, when you feel cognitive dissonance, what happens is you feel awkward or uncomfortable. Basically, is you cannot live with yourself if you do something against your belief, against a commitment, or against your attitude. You feel awkward, you feel tension, you feel uncomfortable. It's almost like a rubber band is stretching inside you. You feel this tension. Sometimes you don't even know why. And when you really can identify dissonance in other people, maybe even sometimes use dissonance in the persuasion process, you'll go a long way. Now let's talk about belief, human belief. It is much easier for someone to adjust or change their belief than to admit they were wrong. This is very important to understand. The human brain needs to be right. Let me repeat that. The human brain needs to be right. If you tell someone they're wrong, if you show someone they're wrong, if you prove to somebody that they're wrong, not only will it repel them, but you've lost the ability to persuade them. So understand that. When someone goes against their belief, when they do something that they know is wrong, more than likely, they are, in their minds, they're not going to admit to themselves that they're wrong. It's easy to change or adjust their beliefs. And sometimes they might even attack you. Not physically, but probably verbally. For example, if you know someone that wants to go on a diet, and they say to you, please help me out, you're like, sure, and you come home and they've eaten a whole dozen Krispy Kreme donuts, and you call them on it and you say something, you better duck, because they're probably going to blame you for it. They're going to have something very negative to say about you or the situation. Cognitive dissonance. Let me talk about this. For example, when I say to you, did you know that you're right 50% of the time and you're wrong 50% of the time? Most of you thought, no. But really, statistically speaking, you're right 50% of the time and you're wrong 50% of the time. But when I say that, you don't believe that because in your mind, you're right more often than that. That's how we're programmed. That's how other people are programmed. When somebody's home's going into foreclosure or their small business fails or the network marketing company doesn't work, they will rarely blame themselves. They have plenty of people they're going to point the finger at because in their mind they couldn't be wrong. That's their belief system. Here's a couple examples just to kind of solidify this. Most people feel that it's wrong to cheat. I teach students on a university level. It's obvious it's wrong to cheat, but some students do cheat, and they cannot live with that. So if they cheat, they're going against their belief. That causes dissonance. That causes the rubber band to stretch. They cannot live with that, so they'll say something like, well, everybody does it, so I have to keep maintain my GPA. Well, the professor's no good, so I need that extra edge. Well, I was sick for a couple weeks and wasn't able to make class, so I need this a little extra help. Whatever it is, that's how you just kind of make that dissonance go away. You believe you shouldn't steal. And maybe you're working in your home office and your son or daughter says, hey, isn't that stapler from work? Isn't that stealing? That causes the rubber band to stretch. You're going, one of your beliefs has been exposed, and very few people will own up to it. They'll say things like, well, you know, I do work at home, and well, it's part of my compensation. Well, I'm only borrowing it for 20 years. That is dissonance. Or you believe you're a charitable person, and you're watching one of those late-night TV commercials about the children in, say, South America, and for 50 cents a day, and you need to help out. So for most people, it might be easier to change the channel. Or they might say, well, I heard those things are scams. Or they'll say, well, I already donate to this charity, and they help with that. That is reducing that dissonance. And if you ever have a prospect that is following you and wants what you have, and all of a sudden they kind of veer off into left field, that is usually because of dissonance. And we need to talk about how to solve it. That is critical. Buyer's remorse. When you buy something and you have remorse, that is a form of dissonance. Critical that you understand that. So I want to spend over the next couple weeks talking about different things that people do that causes them to run away from you, that causes them to get past this dissonance that will really help you out in the world of persuasion. Let me give you another example. One of my beliefs is that you shouldn't eat after 7 o'clock at night. You should exercise every day. Well, maybe some of you share that belief. So when I go on vacation, or you go on vacation, what happens to that belief of eating right and exercising? Now, if you do not eat right and exercise, and that's one of your beliefs, you feel awkward, you feel tension, the rubber band stretches, you can't live with that. So you have to think to yourself, what are some of the things that you go through in your mind to relieve that dissonance? Let's take a cruise, for example, if you've ever been on a cruise. You have 7 meals a day, not including the midnight dessert buffet. You might say something like, well, I'll lose the weight when I get back. Well, I have to get my money's worth. I'm on vacation and calories don't count. I personally have lost 5 pounds before a cruise, so I would break even. Okay? That is what people do. They cannot live with that dissonance. That it's awkward, it's uncomfortable, and they have to get past that. So here's the story. I was going on a cruise with my wife. We were going to Bermuda, beautiful island, and I was speaking on the ship, but on the days we're at the island, I didn't have to speak, so we went ashore, and it was about probably 3 o'clock in the afternoon. We came back, and I was changing my clothes, and my wife says, where are you going? I said, I'm going to get something to eat, and she says, well, are you hungry? I said, well, no, but that's, you know, that's what you do. You get something, you're on a cruise, you have to have your 7 meals a day. You got to get your money worth. If I don't eat it, somebody else would, or they might even throw it away. So I've got to do this. And she looks at me with a smile, and she says, I'm going to go work out. I'm like, oh, man. So I decided I was going to go jogging. If you've ever seen those cruise ships, those tracks on the top of the ship, that's probably, what, 40 laps per mile. But I made a commitment to myself that I was going to jog 3 miles. I was going to go 3 miles. So I get up there and I start going around in circles, and the funny thing happened. Every time I passed the back of the ship, I smelled something that smelled so good. It was the hamburger stand with the french fries and the hot dogs and the hamburgers, and oh, it smelled good. Like, no, 3 miles, I'm going 3 miles, I'm going 3 miles. So I kept going, I was doing my laps, and the person that was jogging in front of me, I noticed, had sat down and was eating a burger and fries. Of course, the natural thing is, well, he can do it, right? I can do it. Like, no, I kept going. And then I did something that at the time made perfect sense that my wife still does not know about. This is what happened, and this made perfect sense to me at the time. I stopped, got a burger and fries on a plate, and I walked the remaining 10 laps to get my 3 miles while I was eating this hamburger and these french fries because I was going to break even. Now, that is what people do. When you're talking about real estate or network marketing or your business, whatever is your product or service, they might be really interested, and all of a sudden they veer off into left field. It's because something happened there. Because you cannot live with that. If you prove someone's wrong, they're very difficult to persuade. So there's six areas we'll be focusing on as we talk about dissonance. The first one is understanding that you have to have this mental consistency, and this first one is denial. This is the big one. They deny there's a problem, or they demean the source. That's what people do. Again, it's easier to change or adjust your belief than is to admit you're wrong. So denial, they deny there's a problem, or they demean the source, they attack you. That would be one. An example would be, let's say somebody is always late. And there's probably someone you know, a coworker, a member of your family that's always late. And in their mind, they're never late. And it's hard for you to understand. So when someone's late and you call them out and say you're late, a denial would be, no, you're the one that's always late. Why are you writing me? I remember that one time you were late. You're saying I'm always late? I don't have that problem. So not only do they deny they have a problem, but they went after you. And you know perfectly well that they're late all the time, but they're going to make it your problem. They're going to attack you. That's denial. And we see that a lot, especially in real estate or those emotional foreclosures or negotiations. That happens quite a bit. We'll also see something we call the reframe. This is where they modify their thinking or they change their understanding. This is the reframe. They'll kind of reinterpret what you said. So if you said you're late, they'll say, well, no, didn't you know that it's socially... They'll say, no, didn't you know that it's socially acceptable to be 10 minutes late? I mean, that's what is happening here. I'm 10 minutes late. That's acceptable. It's okay. Times have changed. It doesn't matter. 10 minutes. So they've changed the understanding. They modified it. They reframed it to where it wasn't an issue anymore. It's very difficult for people to say, yeah, you're right. I need to work on it. I'm late. They are going to go through this process, one of these six. So the first one was denial. The second one is reframe. The third one is the search. This is where they look for social support. They'll either discredit you, they'll find other people that are always late, then it's okay. They search on the internet or people they know why it's okay to do what they're doing. So we go back to the late example. You say, look, you're late. They'll say something like, well, didn't you know, let's see, who's a famous person that was always late? President Clinton was always late. Well, President Clinton was always late. It's okay. It's not a big deal. And they'll search for other people, a CEO or a colleague or another family member. They'll search to find that type of support. We see that quite a bit. The next one is the separation. That's where we tend to compartmentalize or ignore the discrepancy. They'll say, well, it's okay here, but not okay here. Well, that's your personal life, but this is your public life. That's a classic separation. So if you call them on being late, they might say, well, that's at work you're not supposed to be late, but for social situations, it's okay to be a little late. It's okay to be late here, but not okay to be late here. That's a classic separation. The next one we see is the rationalization. We're really good at this one, where we find excuses to justify our behavior, and we tell them it's not our fault. So we say, well, you're late. They say, well, no, it's the traffic. It wasn't my fault. It was thick today. There was an accident. Someone was working on the lights. This happened. They rationalize. They find excuses. This is the one we're really good at. Then the one you're looking for as a persuader is what we call the modify, where they admit the mistake and they make the change. They say, you're right. I am late. Can you help me out? What do you do to be on time? That's the modify. That's what you're looking for as a persuader, because when they can admit, you know, I need to work on that, I need to make some changes, and you can do that the right way, it makes a huge difference in your ability to persuade. Remember, your goal is to help them persuade themselves. Sure, it's a lot of fun to win an argument. Sure, it's a lot of fun to tell someone they're wrong. Sure, it's a lot of fun to tell people, well, why didn't you make your payments? Why didn't you do this? You make them feel stupid, and the doors of persuasion will just close real fast on you. Your goal is to help them do that. And that's what we're going to focus on the next understand each one of these, and when they happen, not only how to identify it, but when they happen, what do you need to do? How do you get past it? That is my goal for you as we get deep into dissonance. Now, this is the most complicated law, but the most important, because your goal is to help them persuade themselves. The human brain needs to be right. You can prove them they're wrong, but it's very difficult to persuade that type of person. So this is what I want you to do this week. I want you to identify dissonance. When somebody is wrong, and you know they're wrong, you watch what they do and what they say to prove to themselves and others that they weren't wrong, that it wasn't their fault. So I want you to identify dissonance not only in other people, but in yourself, because you do this every day. If someone's stuck on the side of the road, you feel like you should stop and help them, but you might say, well, what if they're a crook, or I don't have time, or someone else will stop. So you don't let that dissonance happen. So your goal, just the first part of this homework, is to be able to identify when it's happening, not only in yourself, but in other people. People will not say they're wrong. People will not go against their beliefs. Again, it's easier to adjust that belief than it is to say they were wrong or to admit they need to make a change. That is human nature, and we can understand that. That will go a long way in the world of persuasion and influence. So do that this week. Identify dissonance not only in yourself, but in other people. I know we're going deep here, but again, in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to take each one of these six and help you understand not only how to identify it, but what to do, and that'll really help you out in becoming a power persuader. All right? Any questions about dissonance or what we talked about today?
No, that was really good.
Anybody questions about what we talked about today, what we'll be talking about with dissonance in the upcoming week? If you want to review this, I would listen to the Law of Dissonance to your Magnetic Persuasion CDs, because we're going to spend some time really focusing on this the rest of this month and beginning of next year so you can identify it. Does it make sense to everyone what it is?
Yeah, it was good for me.
Okay. Anybody have any questions about dissonance or things you're running into in the world of persuasion and influence?
Oh.
I've got a question coming in about cognitions. Now, the study here is cognitive dissonance. Your cognitions, remember, is your beliefs, your attitudes, and your commitments. For example, if you believe you're the type of person that keeps commitments, and you go against a commitment, or you don't go to the appointment, that causes the rubber band to stretch, and you cannot live with that. And you come up with excuses why it's okay. And really identify that this week when you see that happening. Because when people are going down the persuasion process, it's a no-brainer, they're going to do business with you, and when you see them all of a sudden not interested or not returning your phone calls, they have taken one of these things within dissonance, and that's why they're one of the reasons they're not calling you back. So again, your cognition, your beliefs, your attitudes, your commitments. The thing I really want to plant in your brain today is that the human brain needs to be right. Even when it's wrong, it's very difficult for people to say, I was wrong, I made a mistake, it's my fault, I blew it. We hear that every once in a while, mostly because they have to. They've been caught. There's no way out of it. But for the most part, people will not admit that. But let me give you one. Well, let me open it up. Is there any other questions about that?
Hey, Kirk. Norman.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, would you say, by the way, good information. Would you say that the rationalization justification process, is that just a bad habit, or is that a character issue?
Well, it's probably both. I mean, it's part of the way we're built,
mm-hmm.
and the way we grow up, and it links back to ego and self-esteem, to where pretty much, when you start listening to people, everything they say is pretty much to either protect their self-esteem or to enhance their self-esteem. And part of that is very few people will admit that they're wrong or they made a mistake or they took the wrong path. So I think it's a little bit of our programming and how we grew up. So if you look at nature and nurture, I would say it's a combination of both.
So in other words, if somebody is on the low end of the self-esteem pedestal, they have to keep building it up so they constantly justify the actions with the hopes or the thought that that would improve the self-esteem or the image of the person.
Absolutely. And that's the biggest challenge as we teach, you know, millionaire psychology. People say, well, I'm okay. I don't have any issues. My beliefs are okay. And deep down, they're not. But it's just we feel better about ourselves because we have to open up ourselves and say, look, I've got some weaknesses. And that's hard for a lot of people to admit that because society, you know, have to have everything has to be perfect. And that's why when we talked about trust, revealing a weakness actually increases trust because people are programmed, but no, you can't reveal a weakness because you look weak. But actually, people appreciate it and it increases the trust level. But for some reason, we're programmed, you can't reveal any weaknesses. But, you know, everybody has them. And
exactly.
So it is a combination of nature and nurture. And when you can see those things, especially in an emotional situation like a real estate or foreclosure, you could say, well, you're the stupid one that didn't pay your mortgage. Well, duh. You could say, you know, it might feel good. It might be true. But you will not be able to persuade them. And as we're going to talk over the upcoming week, we'll talk about how to deal with denial. Because they're going to blame the bank, they're going to blame their boss, they're going to blame their neighbors, they're going to blame the economy. But the reality is they've got to take some ownership there too. And if you call them on it, they'll probably rebel against you. But if you help them discover themselves that it's their issue, that they own it, then the doors open really wide for you to be able to persuade them.
Perfect.
Okay, good question. Any other questions out there? So can your goal this week is just to identify this in yourself. If you made a commitment to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and that alarm goes off, you're probably rationalizing yourself. Well, you know, I went to bed late, and because otherwise you can't live with that. If you, what are some other ones? You know, the way you treat people, the commitments that you make, all those things. So once you identify in yourself and other people, then over the upcoming weeks, we'll talk about solutions and how to solve someone that's in denial, how to solve somebody that's in the reframe. I'm going to take one of those each week, how to identify it and how to do that. And it's going to give you a lot of confidence as a persuader when you see this because you will see this in every persuasion situation. You will see this every day, not only in yourself but in other people. It is just part of human nature, but no one's ever really identified it for you, and that's what we're going to do is just really identify it. And we'll ask for some examples next week of some things that you have seen. So as you see it every day, write it down, kind of analyze what happened, what did they do, and then we'll break it down each week in the upcoming weeks on how to solve it. All right. Any other questions out there? There's music. All right. Okay, think about that this week. Again, we're going deep here. This is the most complicated law, but again, when we've mastered this, you become unstoppable. It's a powerful, powerful law. So with that, everyone have a great week. Next week we'll be going more into dissonance, obviously. And I think, Callan, I think we got a holiday week. Let's see. What is the date next week? You're doing all right? Yeah, we'll be all right. I'll be the 23rd. We'll be all right. So we'll be here next week going over what we call foot in the door technique, which is one way to help reduce dissonance. Everyone have a great week. Wish you massive success, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, sir.
Thank you. You bet. Good night, everyone.